You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, February 16th, 2011. This is episode 171, Blog 365. Welcome back, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, one of your hosts for the Wells Tech Podcast, where we explore topics that certainly are technology-focused but have some impact on ministry. And joining me, per usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to be joining you this morning, and it feels like springtime out here in Sleepy Eye. We got some warmer temperatures, and we're hearing that drip, drip, drip of snow melting away.
Yeah, so, I see this little orange or big orange orb in the sky over here, too.
Yeah, what a concept. So, hey, I've been living like a Groundhog Day recurring nightmare over here.
Really?
I shouldn't call it a nightmare, but I've been reinstalling Windows 7 or reacquainting myself to Windows 7 multiple times on multiple computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm becoming quite the expert, actually, at setting up computers from scratch.
Really?
But my home computer had an upgrade before Christmas, and then I got a laptop with an upgrade, and then my work computer was upgraded. So each time you go through that whole iteration of reinstalling your favorite software and setting up your favorites and getting things situated, you know, within the software. And then my home computer crashed last week, and so we're starting over yet again on it. So that's four Windows 7 installs and restarts in the last 2 months. So I'm becoming an expert. And I'm also really appreciating that living in a cloud kind of concept that not so dependent on this hardware anymore. I'm finding ways to get it done out on the web without the local stuff being a big influence on
it. Not having to slunk around an external hard drive and copy data from a network or whatever. So
right.
That's
so
great.
Interesting experience.
you're gonna like my tip of the week then, or my pick of the week, because it is Windows 7 focused.
There you go. All right, looking forward to it.
But before we go there, we have an interesting topic, and one that we've talked about before, that being blogs. But let's explore it from a little bit different perspective, and we're going to have an interview with a blogger who's attempting to write a blog post every day. And that's probably one of the things about a blog that makes it successful or unsuccessful, is the frequency of the posting. Now, I wouldn't say that you'd have to post every day to have a successful blog, but there is something to say about being consistent in how you write a blog.
It is, Martin, and the challenge with that whole blogging consistently, blogging every day or even every week, is exactly what there is to blog about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we really wanted to take a look at today, is where to find topics and where to find inspiration for blogging. And, you know, you can be blogging for a lot of different reasons, for your own personal growth and writing skills and things like that. You can be blogging about a specific topic that you're interested in or area that you're an expert in. But whatever the reason, I think everybody kind of hits those walls where you aren't quite sure what to blog about.
Right. Yeah, it can definitely be a very spiritual thing. And, you know, I'd almost liken that to journaling. It can be professional. It can be evangelistic. It can be personal, as you mentioned. It could be around a hobby. There's all kinds of things. But I think there needs to be some kind of structure, and this is really the topic of the day, to help you along. How do you get yourself to a point where you're ready to write something? Because the writing, the physical tools to get stuff online, is just dumb simple at this point. With tools like WordPress, or, you know, almost everybody has some kind of blogging tool that comes along with their hosting platform. You now have a blog, right?
That's right. I host my brand new domain. I started in 2011 called sallydraper.com. I hosted at SiteGround, and I immediately installed WordPress. And you can download and install WordPress from wordpress.org, and was up and running with a blog very quickly on my new domain.
So that's a hosting that's a hosting provider that gives you kind of a quick install for WordPress. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. I just went with them with my personal websites. And so it's not, I know you use DreamHost.
DreamHost does the same thing, right? And they have a one-click install for WordPress and Moodle and all kinds of other stuff that we've talked about on the show. But it's really easy. Then you've got the full experience of WordPress that you can install your own themes and upload files and all that stuff. That some of the things that you can't quite do with WordPress's own installation. Plus, it gives us as geeks a little bit more experience about what the true WordPress package can do. So that was one of the reasons I went that direction.
Yeah, but certainly if you're just getting started, you could go to WordPress.com and create a free account. Yep. They even have ways at WordPress.com to get your own domain associated.
You have to pay a little bit, but not much. Yeah.
You don't want to be, myblog.wordpress.com. You want to be myblog.com. Then you could pay for a domain associated with it as well. So
yeah, it's
lots
not
of ways
much,
to get started.
Yeah, it's worthwhile. So it's easy to get started, but the real topic is, what do you write? And we found some good resources for that, right?
We did. A couple that we want to point people to. And one was actually a referral from our interview today. Pastor Dan Walters is doing the daily post at WordPress.com, where they are providing blogging topics each day. For instance, yesterday's blogging topic was share one thing that you've learned recently. And they even give you a bonus, share one thing you wish you learned recently, like ninja skills or teleportation or something. So, I mean, and you know, you can go all different directions with that. And you certainly could take an evangelical approach to sharing one thing you learned recently. But irregardless, you can always flavor your blog post with the salt of letting your light shine
and
sharing your faith.
And that's probably even a better approach rather than just an all-out assault on, kind of an evangelistic assault on anybody who cares to read. Maybe that concept of writing about things that you're passionate about, but making it clear that you're coming at it from a Christian's perspective. And that post, that WordPress challenge has kind of got two prongs to it. There's a post a day, and there's a post a week. So if you're not up to 365 posts, maybe 52 might be a better fit for you.
Yeah, and besides the daily ideas, they also sprinkle in other blog posts in their feed. For instance, there was one about how to find better blogging topics recently, and some suggestions they posted were write a post about something a how-to post, write a top 10 list on anything you like, on great blogs or favorite things, whatever they might be. Post some tips and tricks about what you're good at, or tell a story, or even review something like a book or movie that you've recently taken in. So definitely good writing ideas there. In addition, we have a blog post we wanted to point our listeners to from Chris Brogan. And Chris is kind of a social media guru, I guess we could call him, where he's writing about a lot of different social media topics, and he has a big following. And he has actually started a new newsletter that is a fee-based newsletter where he emails every week blog topics, and you can pay to be part of that group. But recently he shared a sample from that newsletter, and it had some good ideas in it as well. Different ideas for blogging, like things we might have in common are where inspiration meets execution. Talk about what inspires you or your company, and how you deliver on that inspiration. Five ways to use something. So another kind of top five list. A lot of his are more business oriented, but again, you could make them fit with whatever your blogging niche is.
Yep, good stuff. So there's all kinds of these things out there, but it's I think the ones that WordPress is doing, and I think these are really pretty solid because they try and keep them as generic, you know, as possible. Whereas you mentioned, you could probably retrofit them into whatever your blog is about, which is kind of a which is kind of an important component of writing a blog. You kind of need a theme, and maybe the name of your blog would suggest the theme. But just a blog about general stuff is probably not going to be as attractive for somebody to follow as if, other than you know, somebody who's looking for something specific. So you may want to think about that. Or those of you that have blogs, that's really a good tip, is to try and narrow that focus so you gain an audience. And that's the reason to write, I suppose, that people would read it.
Yeah, mine doesn't have a theme or a name that suggests anything yet.
Mine either.
Infant stages. We got SallyDraper.com so far, and my theme is whatever is going on in my life, which is usually about a million things. Mm-hmm. So I got a ways to go in developing as a true blogger, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, my subtitle is My Thoughts on Life, Faith, Technology, and Ministry, so that's not real focused either, but you kind of get the sense. And yeah, I've been blogging for a long time, but I go in streaks. You know, sometimes I do a bunch all together, and then I'll go a month, you know, without it. So this is kind of inspiring to me. Maybe we should challenge each other, Sally, that we at least blog once a week for the rest of the year. How about that?
That sounds like a great challenge, and maybe we can challenge our listeners as well, Martin. We'd like to hear from you and get links to all of your blogs and follow them, and we'd like for you to join us and challenge the Wells Tech Blogging Challenge, mm-hmm. and see if we can all make it to the end of 2011 with a once a week blog post.
At least once a week. Yeah, and our interviewee today, Pastor Dan Walters, is way ahead of us because he's doing the once a day blog challenge. And boy, if he can keep that up, that would be something.
Yeah, I'm impressed. So far, so good, and I've enjoyed reading what he's writing about, and it's been a pleasure to follow mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, Dan Walters is a longtime listener. I don't know how long he's been listening to the show, but he's contributed to it, and we thought it would be good in this show about blogs to have somebody who's actually doing this blog a day challenge. So let's listen to our conversation with Pastor Dan Walters from Springville, New York. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Pastor Dan Walters from Springville, New York, Our Savior Lutheran Church. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. And maybe before we get started into, you know, your blogging career, let's talk a little bit about you. Maybe introduce yourself, where you serve, your interests, family, background, life history, you know, that kind of good stuff.
Sure, yeah. Well, you already mentioned I serve Our Savior Lutheran Church here in Springville. It's about 150 souls, is about the size of the congregation. So I'm privileged to serve here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned family, married to a beautiful wife, Elizabeth. We have four daughters, actually, and expecting daughter number five.
So you are coming up. You are definitely in the minority.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, everyone. And everyone always talks to us, wow, they're all girls, and everyone is shocked, you know, when we're out in public. But good thing we like girls, so we're pretty excited about number five.
I feel so sorry for you when they get to marrying age, though.
but see, we don't have to, like, pay a minister, so that's...
Well, that's but the minister's the cheapest part, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're actually hoping that maybe they'll all, you know, if they meet someone right around the same time, that maybe they'll all want to get married, kind of a big joint.
Yeah,
do a
deluxe package.
The details are still to be worked out. But
that's right. All right. Sorry to sidetrack you there.
Oh, no problem.
How long have you been in New York?
I was assigned here out of seminary, and I've been here a little over 4 years.
Okay. Very good. So I assume kind of a mission-minded, you know, outreach-oriented church there in upstate New York.
Boy, we sure strive to be. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So maybe let's jump into the technology side of the reason for the interview, and that is that you've entered into the blogosphere as a pretty dedicated blogger. So maybe tell us a little bit about your quote-unquote blogging career and maybe the focus of your blog, where it is and how sure. long you've been at it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the idea of a blogging career sort of sounds a little, little more than it is to me.
Right.
But it's something that, yeah, it's just sort of, it's been an interest of mine, and the technology is so kind of easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of tried different ones in the past, but yeah, right now I'm working with the WordPress.com platform. It's been really easy to use and kind of fun to use. But yeah, right now mine is, you know, it's called Pastor Walters Has a Blog, and it's pastorwalters.wordpress.com. I kind of started that one, boy, back in maybe September, after trying a few other ones. And at first, I was kind of posting sporadically. The idea was that I would post fairly regularly, almost more for myself than the idea that I was really hoping to get this massive audience to hang on my every word. But I kind of wanted to sort of force myself to communicate something on a regular basis. And I tend to have a bit of a analysis paralysis when it comes to stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get stuck with something and I don't, you know, I'm so busy examining all the possible ways you could do it that I never do it. So I wanted something to kind of force myself to keep communicating something out there. And, you know, as a pastor, I'm always studying the Bible, studying things, and it's only a very small portion of what I study. Let's say for a sermon, only a very small portion of that is going to end up in the sermon. You know, people don't tend to want a 3-hour sermon. And it seems like, you know, there's always so much of what I'm doing that it benefits me, but it never really goes beyond that. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could post some things like that. And so that was kind of the idea of it. And I think one of the things that you guys said, one of the reasons you'd asked me, is that in this year, the WordPress.com, they had kind of a challenge to post every day or post every week. And I knew with my personality that would kind of be a good thing for me that would actually help me to do it, because it's pretty easy to let a few weeks go by and, oh, yeah, I guess I've never done anything. But I knew with the challenge that would kind of get me going to try to get something out there every day and, again, help break that analysis paralysis I tend to get myself locked into.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll definitely be including some links in the show notes to the daily post at WordPress.com. So they
yeah.
don't just challenge you, but they give you blogging ideas as well each day. And I'm just wondering, has it been a real difficult thing for you to post every day? And have you seen any benefits from taking up the challenge from WordPress?
Yeah, you know, it can be difficult. You mentioned that daily post. They have little things where they have ideas for you. I haven't used those personally. They're interesting. And I think, you know, depending on what you wanted your blog for, it might be a good way to do it. But it is challenging sometimes. And I think, I know I have an app on my phone that lets me add a post, a quick post, pretty easily. I think if I didn't have that, I think the daily thing would have been maybe too much. But at the same time, you know, I'm not trying to have my post be a doctoral thesis by any means, nor are they a conference paper. I'm really trying to have it be I don't want to say raw, but I mean a fairly, you know, I'm not double, triple checking every single you know, grammatical possibility for every post. I'm not trying to have it be more than it is, but just and I think that mindset has helped me to continue it, that I'm not trying to make it more than it is, and I'm not trying to, you know, have some big dramatic goal with every post that I'm building up to something. It's just kind of things that hit me. You know, it might be just a quote from something I'm reading. Maybe it's just something that I'm working on that strikes me at the time, or maybe it's a personal story. It's just kind of, and again, when you're posting every day, you don't have much time to think, well, do I really want to do that? You go with it and hope it works out.
So during the course of your day or week, are you trying to kind of catalog potential topics, or do you just brainstorm in the moment?
Some of each. I mean, I think I really don't spend a whole lot of time, honestly, each day on the blog. I mean, it's not. So I knew. I mean, I wouldn't. Obviously, I'm pretty busy. But for me, you know, it's the little times where, yeah, you're waiting in traffic or you're standing in line at the store is when you might think of an idea to maybe jot down. Or sometimes it's just kind of in the moment. All right, what am I going to write about right now? So it's, yeah, it's a little of both. And yeah, I like to keep a kind of a running idea list. And sometimes something will hit me that I think, oh, yeah, that I've got to write about that. That's nice when that happens. Doesn't always happen, but so yeah, I've kind of been just sort of taking it as it comes, and I wouldn't say I've mastered it at this point by any means.
Well, Pastor Walters, you mentioned that you kind of started it out as something for yourself, just to kind of challenge yourself or whatever. But I'm wondering if it's grown from there. Has there been? Have you started to gather some followers? Are the members of your church aware that you're blogging, and are they following? Or, you know, what's been the reaction in the blogosphere?
Yeah, it's been neat to get, you know, a certain group who might tend to comment once in a while or things like that. And it's actually kind of interesting with this post-a-day thing. You can sort of search other people who are doing the same challenge as you are, and I know I commented on a couple of their blogs, and then some of those people would comment on mine. There's even a guy who will occasionally check mine, and I'll check his, and he's from India, and he's not even a Christian, but he, you know, reads my blog and things like that. So it's kind of interesting, those little relationships that come out of that. As far as my congregation, I don't necessarily hide it from the congregation or anything like that, but I haven't really pushed it with them. Although I might occasionally, I've been posting my sermons, so I mean that's something that comes from the congregation. I might, there might be something I've written for the congregation that I'll use in a blog, or vice versa, something that I've written about that I think, well, this will be something I should, you know, maybe bring to the wider congregation. But right now, I mean, it's not a huge thing in the congregation. I wouldn't say we have a particularly ultra tech savvy congregation. Not that, you know, there's blog readers there, I guess, but that's not really the congregation focus probably as much. But I think it's helped some of the things I do within the congregation, even if it's not necessarily directly. You know, some of the things that I write, I will use, or it's based on things that I'm working on for the congregation.
And what about for other pastors? Do you see that it's a worthy endeavor? Would you recommend blogging to other pastors?
You know, I would say if it sounds like something you want to do, then go for it. If you're not interested in it, I would kind of say don't feel like you have to. Now, again, some congregations, that may be sort of a thing where it's very beneficial for the congregation to have something. Some guys might have kind of a bug to do that. I would definitely say not to force it, though, if you're not, you know, if you don't feel like doing it, you know, I wouldn't force it on yourself. I definitely wouldn't force the post-a-day thing, you know, if you don't think that's for you. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to everyone. I know with my sort of personal things that made me think it was a good idea, it's been good for me, but I definitely, I would recommend it in the sense of I think it can be very beneficial and can help sort of spark your creativity process sometimes. But if it doesn't feel like you and it doesn't feel like something you want to go for, I definitely wouldn't want to force it on someone.
Sure.
Or to make you think that if you don't have a blog, you're somehow a third-rate, you know, mm-hmm. pastor. But I definitely would not say that.
What do you have as you're looking at your blog in the future? You gonna continue with the one a day, or how do you see this progressing through the course of 2011?
The goal for 2011 is to continue with the one a day, because that's kind of what the original challenge was, and like I said, the challenge is what got me kind of interested in. You know, I know if I didn't have the challenge there, I probably would have stopped already,
mm-hmm.
And I would have already gotten a lot less regular. As far as beyond 2011, I don't know. It probably won't be every day after that. I'll probably force myself to take a little break. But you know, I hope it's something I continue. I think there are positives that that I see from it. And again, you get little reactions and little relationships with people that you wouldn't normally have. And again, there's people out there reading my sermons and things like that who, you know, I would never come in contact with otherwise. And that's kind of a
sure.
neat thing.
Great way to let your light shine.
Exactly.
Very good, Dan. Well, now I have you in my Google Reader, so I'll be following along as you write. So that, I think that's a great thing. And if, like you say, it's not for everybody, but right. if it makes a difference, and it seems like it certainly is in your life, and certainly the people that read it, I think that's a great thing. So keep up the good work, and blessings on it.
Thank you,
and thank you for taking the time today, and. We'll probably touch base at some point in the future and check up on you and see on day 365 whether you actually made it.
Okay, yes, that'd be great. Yeah, I hope I'm still going.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So 1 month down, or a month and a half for Dan, and it seems like he's still going strong.
Yep, he shared his blog link, pastorwalters.wordpress.com, so if you want to start following, that's the place to go. He's also Pastor Walters on Twitter, so mm-hmm. You can keep up with him. I believe he tweets about each of his blog posts as well. So
mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Dan, for joining us. Appreciate it. Ministry resources.
Yes, I can thank Stephanie Zastrow, our kindergarten teacher here at St. John's in Sleepy Eye, for pointing me to some really nicely done videos. We're going to share links today with you to videos on Martin Luther's morning prayer and evening prayer, both of which have been created in kind of a typographical format with some music background, and very, very well done.
They are, yeah.
The prayers verbatim, so you could use them in any kind of a classroom setting if you wanted. You can add them as a blog post and share it via your blog, because they're from Vimeo, so there's embed code available to post them on your blog if you want. And I encourage you to check them out and maybe tag them so that you can come back to them and use them when you're studying that part of the catechism or whatever it might be.
Yeah, very good study tool, I would think, and enliven that that passage or those prayers for the kids. So. Good
yeah,
stuff.
I'm thinking even in congregations that are using video more in the worship setting, this might be a good prelude to worship mm-hmm. To have the prayer on the screen.
Yeah, I like that idea. Great. So, great thought. Yeah. So nice find. Thank you to your kindergarten teacher.
Yes, indeed. All right. Next up, we have News and Tech, Martin, and we mm-hmm. heard from a couple of our favorite, actually, video sites that are improving their offerings every day. So it's exciting to see things evolve in this way. First up was an announcement from Vimeo, and they actually have added 5 gigabyte file uploads. So you can add really large video mm-hmm. to your Vimeo account.
Yes.
And, yeah, get custom URLs for it, get better HD video embedding if you're a Plus user on Vimeo, and do lots of other little nuances with your Plus account. So you guys use a Vimeo account there at Peace in Hartford? Or?
We have one. We're not, and we do record the service, although we're not putting it online yet. So that is still, that's on the table as far as a project we need to get done. So.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of congregations that are using it. I believe a few months back we even shared a link where you could join a Vimeo group if your congregation was posting video there. I'll have to dig up that link and include it as well. But seems like a really professional platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as junked up, I guess you could say, as
right.
a YouTube posting or whatever.
It doesn't seem to be as commercialized. It's a little bit more single focus, and hopefully it stays that way.
And then obviously with these enhancements and everything, you can upload longer videos where YouTube has a a length limitation, you're not going to get that with your Vimeo account.
Correct.
So that's a big positive.
Yeah, YouTube just upped it. Now, I think is it 15 minutes or did they go all the way to 30? I don't remember, but there is a limit, and there's no such limit on Vimeo. So Vimeo is a tool that we use at the Synod for all of the streams videos that you see on the Wells.net site. And we found it to be very reliable and very easy to use. So I would really highly recommend Vimeo.
All right. And we also heard from Screencast.com. Mm-hmm. Screencast is another video hosting platform. And you can get 2 gig, I believe, of free hosting with Screencast. And typically associated with some of their other products, Jing and Camtasia Studio, which is all three are done by a company called TechSmith. Okay. And I've recommended Screencast to people as a really safe place to upload and share video resources and things. And now they've made it even easier because they have easy buttons to share your uploads on Facebook and Twitter. And they've also integrated Google Analytics, which I think is awesome because Google Analytics just gives you a ton of information about who's viewing and making use of the resources you're posting on the web. So you can't go wrong with integrating some of that kind of analytics into Screencast. So if you're looking for a quick and easy way to upload and share some video information, Screencast.com may be the way to go.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Both very useful tools for ministry. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, your pick.
All right, Martin. And sticking with the TechSmith theme, I just mentioned Screencast.com. I'm going to do another TechSmith product for my pick of the week, and that is Camtasia Studio. I guess kind of being inspired by Lutheran's morning and evening prayers and lots of other great video ideas that we've been talking about recently. If I were going to create a video, this would be my go-to tool. It's not a free product. It is definitely fee-based, but they do have nonprofit pricing. So if you do end up purchasing it, make sure you check that out. But it is a very powerful screen recorder and video editing software. And you can record and include PowerPoints. You can include images. You can import your own music. You can record your screen and then record your audio separately if you want to, just to make sure you get everything correct. And then it has a lot of tools like being able to zoom in on certain portions of the screen, add call-outs like little boxes that explain things on the screen or arrows that point to things. You can do fancy techniques with your mouse so that people can follow your mouse motion and your clicks of your mouse. It's really all-encompassing. I think you can even do some picture-in-picture stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can have your webcam video added into your video so they can see you as you're explaining things or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about capturing some of that great learning information and being able to share it via the web. Things like Bible class presentations that our pastors invest so much time into, now opening that up to being able to share it via the web and in a video format that would be pleasing to a lot of people. So if you're looking to kind of notch it up a little bit and begin to do some video production that's a little bit higher level, I think Camtasia Studio is a product worth trying. And what's cool about it is they give you a 30-day free trial. So you get a fully functioning Camtasia Studio software download, good for 30 days, and you can try it out in a guessing you'll be hooked on it, especially if you have any kind of big video project to get done. Give it a try. They do have a Mac version now. That's something fairly recent that they released, so you can get Camtasia for Mac as well. And just a really intuitive software and fun to work in. I think you'll enjoy Camtasia Studio.
You, Sally, are definitely a TechSmith fangirl.
I am, for sure. Sending them some love.
All their products, yep.
That's because they make my life easy.
They do. Yeah, yes. And I enjoy their products as well. My pick of the week, as I kind of alluded to and gave a little hint to you in our opening dialogue, is Windows 7-based. And it's a blog post from Microsoft themselves, their technet.microsoft.com site, which is all kinds of good stuff about maintaining Windows and all the Office products and so on and so forth. This one, this little blog post, is entitled 77 Windows 7 Tips. Say that seven times fast. But basically, it's 77 tips about Windows 7. And some of these are very geeky, but some of them are very practical as well. If you are a system administrator, you should definitely take a look at this. But even if you're a regular old user, there's good stuff here that'll help you be a little bit more productive and explore some of the maybe secret functions or kind of hidden functions that are in Windows 7 that were not in previous versions. So great blog post. Just to highlight a few of them, they talk about using XP mode, Windows XP mode. When you get Windows 7, you get XP along with it in a virtual environment. So if you wanted to run applications in XP mode that don't work real well on the more modern operating systems, you could install them in XP mode and run them there with very little performance degradation. So that's a real good feature within Windows 7 to take a look at. There's also a nice handy, which I use, a screen clipping tool, which is great for just a quick, you know, grab a screenshot of something. You can annotate it, you can save it as a PNG file, you can copy it to the clipboard, just a real quick way to grab something on the screen. Let me go through what else.
I saw one listed about setting up multiple clocks in your taskbar.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, especially if you're working with somebody, say, on the opposite side of the country. I know you know, our gift planning counselors are spread out across the country, and sometimes it's hard to keep in mind what time it is where they're located. So if you regularly work with somebody in a different time zone, then that might be beneficial to you to have a couple of clocks going on your toolbar.
Yep. There's a little utility called Sticky Notes, which you've probably seen in the past. This is new and improved. So you can add those to your digital screen rather than pasting around the bezel of your existing screen. They talk about the new improvements to WordPad, which now has the ribbon and can save to DOCX file formats. And then there's a whole section on keyboard shortcuts using the Windows key. Anybody that's got a Windows keyboard with that Windows key in the lower left has all kinds of options to minimize windows, to show the desktop, to launch Explorer, to do a search, to lock the desktop, to open the run window, all kinds of shortcuts that I think are going to make you a little bit more productive. So I printed this out and I've got it right beside my computer as I work through some of these, and useful little blog post, 77 Windows 7 tips, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Wow, I'm impressed. If you printed it, actually killed a tree for this one, so that must mean it's really good.
It is, yes.
All right.
It's my desktop companion.
Very good.
All right, let's move on to community feedback.
Yes, we have quite a bit to share this week. We heard from Ryan Rosenthal, who's at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and he was doing some listening, catching up on the podcast, some of our year-end podcast, and he said we had mentioned the gyration mouse, and he said they have invested in these at Faith, and every classroom is using a gyration mouse, so that's good to get that feedback. He said they really like it, especially the Zoom feature. However, he's had to have multiple mouse replacements done under warranty, thankfully, but that tells me that they've got a ways to go on the hardware side of things. With that.
Yep, and that was one of my worst picks of the year because of that hardware issue that we ran that show a couple of the first show or the last show of the year, one of those.
And sure.
So I think also congratulations are in order to Ryan. I think he just had a new child born, and I'm trying trying to look it up in Facebook whether it was a boy or a girl. It was a boy. Okay.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So
yes.
Congratulations, Ryan, and blessings on mother and child.
Most definitely. Next up, we heard from Leslie Bergman, who's at Good Shepherds in West Allis, and she had kind of an interesting question for us. In the past, she said back in November, we talked about Final Web having a mobile site, and that is something that comes along for the ride with your Final Web websites. It's M dot and then your domain name will take you to a mobile version of your website. And it is very stripped down so that you just really get the menus. Not a whole lot of heavy stuff is downloaded to the mobile devices. And it's in a larger format so you can see things as opposed to trying to see everything on a big web page that doesn't display well. So she's just trying to get a better understanding, Martin, of why we would send people to a mobile site. You know, what are the what's the logic behind having these mobile sites, and you know whether it's even worth promoting that, or if just sending them to the regular website is just as good.
Well, it depends. People with smartphones would question maybe why we would want to kind of strip down that that user experience, and maybe just design for a smartphone. But we have to remember, most phones right now are still not smartphones, so they're still kind of limited in their ability to display content. They don't display images real well. So I think that's the intent of this particular function within Final Web, is to make it as usable for as many people as possible. Now, I think there are, and I should explore this, but there are probably ways to turn that off, or it's very easy once you get to that site to hit the non-mobile version link, which is, I think, in the upper right of that screen, that home screen.
Yes. So great question, Leslie, and yep. I think, you know, each congregation is probably going to have a pulse on what their members need and want, and it probably has to do with their phone choice more than anything else. So.
Yeah, it's certainly the mobile version, if you're just looking for calendar stuff, which a lot of members would be as they come to the website, really quick and easy. You just click the calendar link and you've got it right there.
For sure. All right, next we heard from longtime listener John Shoesmith, who's out in Yakima, Washington, or actually at Whibdy Island, Washington. Mm-hmm. And John wrote to us and asked if Wells had considered publishing books in the Google Books collection. He thought that might be a good place to do outreach by having Wells publications included in Google Books, where if people are searching on certain words, then our materials would come up as well. So I think it's a great idea, John. I'm not sure if NPH has looked at that or not, but we certainly can pass along your suggestion to the folks over at Northwestern Publishing House.
Yep, very good.
Yeah. And next up, a little bit of self-promotion, I guess you could call it. But we have some blogger friends out there.
Hey, just report the news, Sally.
That's right. They have blogged about Wells Tech. That includes Rachel Hartman down in Mexico, who did a blog post about missionary Mike Hartman being part of our podcast last week. Mm-hmm. And so you can check that out. We'll include a link in the show notes. And also Pastor Dan Walters, in advance of his interview being played on the podcast, blogged about his interview experience and about the Wells Tech podcast. So we appreciate the love from our blogger friends out there, and encourage you to check out their blogs. There's lots more on each of their blogs that you would find of interest, I'm sure.
Yep, thanks to both of you. And we enjoyed having both of you on.
Absolutely. All right. And finally, we want to include some DIGO links that were shared by Jason Schmidt from Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska. He had two cool links. One is called Draw Island, which is an online drawing platform. And another is an animation gallery of science animations, and they've got everything from biology, ecology, chemistry, astronomy, all kinds of amazing flash-based animations included on this website. So if you're science-oriented, you might want to check out the resources that Jason shared a link to.
And we really like the feedback that comes through DIGO. It's very focused, and right now I think we have about a dozen Wells Tech listeners that have joined that Wells Tech group on DIGO. If you're wondering what DIGO is, it's a social bookmark sharing site. Sally and I both use it, and a number of educators. It's very good for education. You can get an educator account. If you want to learn a little bit more about it, obviously you can go to DIGO.com, DIIGO.com. But we did a whole show on DIGO. I don't know what episode it was, but if you do a little bit of a search in our archives, you'll find a show where we had Jason Schmidt on. and we talked a little bit about DGO. So if you'd like to use it and participate and share links with us that we'll bring up on the show, you can easily do that with DGO. Just search for the Wells Tech group on DGO, request a membership, we'll approve you, and you can share links with us that way.
Yes, thank you, Jason, and everyone who shares via DGO and via all our communication channels. The easiest way to communicate with us is to go to the Wells Tech blog at wellstech.wells.net, and there's a place to comment on each show as well as other links for lots of different ways to talk with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. My favorite section. Next week, we're going global, Sally, and we're going to have Gail Potratz along for the ride. We're going to look at Google Earth. We've talked about it in the past, but we're going to focus on its usefulness, specifically in the classroom. And so those of you that are Google Earthers, tune in. And those of you that are wondering what that is and how you can use it, I think there you'll be surprised at the number of uses, and not just in geography class. There's all kinds of uses for it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this show. I've been wanting to learn more about Google Earth for a long time.
Yep. So tune in next week. Let's close the show with the music of Stephen Bautista. The Man Who Drove the Nail is the song from the album Abandon. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Standing by Jesus' side, would I be bold enough to go against the bitter tide? Would I speak out, willingly plead his case, defend him to the end from the angry crowds he faced? And would I run to his rescue? Would I come to save the day? Would I run out in his defense and stand in the crowd's way? Would I hold to my convictions even if I was a saint? Am I really that much different at all than the man who drove the nail? Will I be bold enough to go against the bitter tide? Will I speak out, willingly plead his case, defend him to the end from the angry crowds I'll face? And will I run to his rescue? Will I come to save the day? Why he ran.